you have your Bibles, would you please turn to John 13? We're going to review the scriptures that we walked through last week. And I'd like us to stand today. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you. And if you're beside someone or doesn't know really where to turn, help them turn to John 13. There's a Bible right underneath your chair. Let's stand together for these two scriptures. These are very powerful, powerful words. The words of our Savior, and we've been on a journey as a church, faith, hope, and love. And the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, an amazing portion of Scripture. And of course, love was displayed, and we remembered today love because it was the greatest expression of love was the cross. Without the cross, what would we preach? And without the resurrection, what would we preach? And it was interesting as I read this morning in Corinthians, early this morning as I was thinking about the table of communion, that Jesus gave his body for our diseases and he gave his blood for a new covenant. We should be excited, folks. It's a better covenant. It's a better covenant. Why? Because he has fulfilled, Jesus has fulfilled the righteous requirements of the law. And now we live under one law, the law of love. Let's read what he said to his disciples, starting at verse 31, John chapter 13, verse 31. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come." We're going to be with him eventually. Amen? Amen. Wonderful. But we've got work to do in the meantime. A new command. Now look at these words. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And verse 35 is the absolute point of where the world, people who don't know Christ, will look to the church. And often they're a little confused by this because we've not shown this. Look at what he says. By this, meaning our love one for another, by this, all men. It doesn't say a few. It doesn't say some. It says all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, all men may refuse Jesus Christ, or some men may refuse Christ and people, but it says there will be an absolute truth to know when they look at people who proclaim Jesus Christ and see the love we have one for another. Agape love, and we heard it explained so powerfully last week by Rod. There was a holy awe in the church last week. How many were here last week? And love brings that awe-ness, that of who God is and who Christ is. So people will know by our love. Turn over John 15. John 15 starts, "I am the true vine," but we'll start verse 9. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love." Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself, because loving your neighbor does no harm to your neighbor. Love is the fulfillment of the law. That's Romans chapter 13. Wow, church. Jesus Christ fulfilled it by his shed blood by love, because you and I couldn't. So love does no harm to its neighbor. And when we love one another, the scripture says, we have fulfilled the law. Wonderful truth. John Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. He's sharing with him, all along he's been sharing this, but he's sharing with them what he's going to do. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Let's read that part again. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Love is the opening for all the supernatural, folks. It's the opening for miracles. It's the opening for healing. It's the opening for deliverance. As Pastor Larry read this morning, the healing of disease, the deliverance of demons in people, and people need deliverance. The healing, the deliverance of people from poverty. Love is the answer. If you've got a bulletin, now you can put your Bibles down. Look at the front of your bulletin and look who God has led us to be as a church. If you have a bulletin, look at the front. We are called to love, serve, and offer hope. That is the mission of the church. We've made it the mission of Christ the King, of River Valley Community Church, called to love, serve, and offer hope. Because when you love, you serve. When you serve, you give hope. Did you know that? Love is the foundation of the gospel. Every song that we sang today, everything we've done today, the reason we've gathered in this place today is because of love. There'd be no reason to gather without it. And the commandment is so clear that we must love one another. It's clear. So before you're seated, even if your wife is seated beside you or standing beside you, most importantly, your wife or husband, find someone today and in true Christian love, tell them, I love you and I care for you. And then you can be seated. Love leads people to repentance. Romans 2:4, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? Love brings people to Christ. And so much of what we've heard about God and what people have proclaimed about God is a lie, and that's Satan trying to deceive people that say that God is not love. God is love. We had people last week, because of the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, four people that gave their life to Jesus Christ. I want to give praise to God. Isn't that wonderful? And many more to come. Because love draws people to God. It's his goodness, it's his kindness that brings people to Christ. Love is, I've already said this, is the fulfillment of the law. We are no longer under the old covenant, but we are under the new covenant of love. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Love does not steal. Love does not commit adultery. Love does not covet. If we love, we truly have, as Scripture says, we won't go there this morning, Romans, we have fulfilled it because Christ has fulfilled the law, and it's the law of love. And if we're honest about this morning, if I'm honest, I've missed the mark of love often in my life and how I have treated others. I'm getting better. Amen? We're growing. We're growing. The Spirit's at work. We're learning and understanding. And we know we miss it because our conscience has come alive in Christ. And so when we miss it, the Holy Spirit goes, hey, this is what he says to me. Hey, dummy, you missed it. Yeah, I know he doesn't say that to you. You missed it. You missed the law of love. Anytime we are holding unforgiveness and bitterness, and Rod explained this so well, don't let the sun go down on your anger. He said last week, you got 24 hours after that. That's it. You better deal with it because of love. You can't hold ill against people for 30 years and think you're going to do well in your Christian walk. Love, that's a violation of love. A violation of the cross. If sin were held against us, Jesus would never have gone to the cross. If God was still holding or counting, the scripture says, men's sins against them. It says he's not counting men's sins against them because of love. I would expect a roar after that statement, but we're set free. We're delivered. We're healed. Oh, and yes, we're on this road of transformation. Love. It's the message of the cross, folks. You know, my grandfather, my mom's dad, always used to sit me on his lap. I was 6 years old. I've shared this before. 6, 7 years old, when he'd come to visit, he'd sit me on his lap and he'd say, Mark the evangelist. Never forget those words. I'll never forget it. And he'd sit me there and he'd say, Mark the evangelist. And honestly, as we've walked through this last few months, we've really discovered more and more what our, as pastors, and by the way, you have a primary gift. Boy, am I thankful there's every gift the body of Christ needs sitting out there. Yeah, every gift. But what I understand more and more is an apostolic sense of leadership and also, but mainly evangelistic. You know, if you could just set me somewhere and I could just call people to Jesus Christ, I'd just be happy. Just get a steak beside me every once in a while and I'll eat and then I'll call people to Christ. And I just love the opportunity to be able to call people to follow Jesus Christ. It's so amazing. And then you have all these gifts, and 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14 has all these gifts, and they've been lavished on the church. And I don't know why I'm going here, but I'm going to go. And then we create this hierarchy in the church that it's pastors that have all these gifts and the leaders. Let's sever that lie right now. The gifts have been lavished upon the body of Christ. That's love. That's absolute love. And so you got to find out what your gift is and gifts and begin to use it. I believe every gift is available when we need it, but then we have a primary number of gifts. He's lavished us with gifts. Go to Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. This is just absolutely amazing. Watch this. I saw this yesterday as I was spending some time looking at Scripture and the Word. And you know, when you read something and you've read it over and you've read it over and you've read it over and you've read it over, and all of a sudden something leaps at you, that's the rhema of the Word, the illumination of something fresh for you when you need it. Ephesians 5, verse 1, talking of love. Watch this. Be imitators of God. We are not only made in the image of God, but when we came to Christ, all right, when we came to Christ, we were transformed. Behold, all things become new, if any man is in Christ. We have been transformed. That's regeneration. That's the Spirit living now inside. God is spirit, and God sees you through spirit. He sees you as spirit. He sees perfection in you. Wives, don't elbow your husbands. And vice versa. God sees his church this morning through love. Yeah, thank you, Pastor Keith. Thank you, Jesus. He sees us through love. He sees you as perfection. And now Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, says this: be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We won't get into all those details, but to live out and be imitators of God means that we love. Galatians says that the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The two go hand in hand. Anytime we're operating outside of the law of love, we're outside of God. Anytime the words, I can't stand that person, or I hate that individual, that shouldn't even be language that people who have been transformed by Christ should even think. If you do think it, take it captive. But to speak it is another thing. I can't stand that guy. And I, this is this and this. That is not love. Love sees people, especially those in the body, and yes, those that are not saved yet. But love sees others the way Jesus sees them. And that is perfection. That is perfect in Christ's eyes. Love sees our brother and our sister in Christ as God doing a work in them. Love sees something that is greater than their mistakes or greater than their shortcomings, of which we all have, don't we? Love sees beyond those things. Love sees the work of Christ in those people. Love sees people who don't know Christ as calling those things that are not and proclaiming they are saved in Jesus' name. Love sees that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Love is the foundation of everything we do. Everything we teach, everything we preach, it has to be the foundation. Love is the reason there's a food room. Oasis Ministry, Pastor Larry. Love is the reason there's an outreach banquet on the 11th. Well, we're just filling the calendar. No. Well, most of us would rather watch NFL football. So we shut it off, and we come down and we serve people who need us to be imitators of God by love. By love. Love. All right, 1 John 4, let's go there. 1 John 4, 7 to 21. Now, if you don't have your Bible and you've got a Bible from underneath the chairs, page 1209. That'll help you. Yep, did my homework. I know, you're impressed. This passage of Scripture, verses 7 to 21, in the NIV translation, the word love, agape, and loved is said 27 times. The Apostle John wrote this, the same who wrote the Gospel of John. So he wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and Revelation. Historians, church historians think possibly that he was the last apostle alive when he wrote this. And very interesting, could possibly have been, because it doesn't give us really where he's distributing these letters to a particular church, but it's just to believers. And very possibly was the pastor of the church in Ephesus, where Timothy was. And this would have been after Timothy would have been martyred on the streets by people who hated God that much and hated the message of the cross that much. Because the historians tell us that Timothy was out on the street coming against their pagan idolatry, the ways that they were living, and so on and so forth. And back then, just like in today, there are people that hate the message of the cross. It's a stumbling block. And so John was looking after Christ's mother, and their home was Ephesus. And he became the pastor of Ephesus. And there's some very powerful things that also are revealed when he's on the island of Patmos to the church in Ephesus. And we won't go there today, but remember what the word was in Revelation to the church in Ephesus? You have left your first love. A church where Paul in Ephesians is using love constantly, and we just read where be imitators of God and love. And now about 30 years later, as John has his revelation on the island of Patmos, the words of Jesus to the church of Ephesus are, you have left your first love. I'm afraid sometimes that our programs, our building, our politics, our money, oh, I said it. You mean you have politics in the church? Yes, unfortunately, pray for us. Our money, our stuff, our culture get in the way, and we forget the very reason we exist as the body of Christ. It's the love of Jesus. Everything must be done because he first loved us, and then out of love, we love to do something for Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Watch this. Verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does... Now, just let me say this. You cannot just love people and not love Jesus. So, well, Pastor Mark, what about people that just... They're very loving people. I've talked to so many people. Oh, I believe in God. Well, who's Jesus? Oh, he's a good guy. There's the question, folks. Who's Jesus? Who is Jesus? He's the Savior of the world. If that isn't confessed, if they don't believe in that, we're not talking about them here. We're talking about people who claim to know Christ as Savior, all right? Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Let's say together, God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. That is the greatest demonstration of love. But God demonstrates his love in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, have we forgotten the impact of salvation in our lives? Have we forgotten the impact of Christ's love in our lives? Have we wandered away and forgotten our first love? Just a question. I'm not saying that judgmentally in any way. I'm asking the question, have we wandered from the love of Jesus? Have we wandered from the motivation of love? I pray if we have, God brings us back. Amen. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Rod said this so well. God sent his Son for people who despised him, wanted nothing to do with him. Jesus came. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. When people come on Sunday mornings to this location, and I hope to every church, but the key is when they come to this location, this is our church, this is where we get to preach and teach, and new people come and walk through the door, and do they experience the love of God through you? I'm going to say, yes, they do. I'm going to say it. Yes, they do. I believe that. Do they experience the love of God through you on Monday in your workplace? Or is your coworker a jerk? Don't answer that question right now. He might be a jerk, but God loves jerks. He loved me. Okay, you can say amen to that. How about the neighbor that's driving you crazy by doing something to your home? How about the person that flips you the bird? Oops, I said that. As you're driving. I'm sure none of you have ever had that happen, and none of you have ever done that either. Do you love them? How about the young man that Larry and I were talking about this week as we were doing what pastors do, having coffee? I saw that nod on the balcony. Who is really, really tormented by demons. Do we love him? I know Jesus does. I was struggling loving him. And yet I looked at him the other morning and I said, he could be the demoniac. The one where Jesus crossed with the disciples the lake and set him free. Love set him free. He could be that very person in modern day Medicine Hat. How about when you're in a drive-thru and it's taking longer than you would like to get your coffee? Do you love the people that are serving you? How about when you go for lunch in a restaurant today? Do you tip well and do you love your server? Don't touch my pocketbook, God. How about when the Spirit leads you to give more than you thought you would give? Do you still love Jesus? Shouldn't we have gratitude and gratefulness that we can give? Do you know what the greatest thief of joy is? Ungratefulness. And Jesus said his love would make our joy complete. And when we're ungrateful and not thankful for the love of God and what God has done for us, we are robbed of joy. And it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Maybe some of our strength is being zapped because we're not walking in love. And we're not grateful. And we're not thankful. I remember years ago, a number of years ago, we were not together as a church. And the Lord, through a social worker in town here, she phoned me and said, I would like you to come and would you come to the hospital and pray for a baby that is addicted to cocaine? I went, whoa. I said, yeah, I would like to do that. That'd be a privilege, actually. And so as I was walking into the hospital, the old man was rising up in me. And here's what he was saying. What kind of mother would do that to a baby? Who would ever do such a thing? And all of a sudden, the power of God hit me and said, hey, stop that. I'm not kidding you, just like that. I've called you here to pray and to love this baby and the mother. While you were still a sinner, I loved you. And instantly, before I got on the elevator, I had an attitude shift. And that attitude shift was, this is an honor to go and love people who are still messed up like at times I still am. Amen? We are called not to judge, Matthew 7. We are called to love. And yes, out of that love, we want to see those people healed, set free, and delivered. But as I held that child in my arms, you want to get messed up? You go hold a child that's addicted to cocaine. And yet you see the very essence of Jesus in that child. And you see God. Church, we got to get this. Love wins the day. It wins. It just does. And even if they reject you, they've rejected Jesus. Even if they reject you, they've rejected Christ in you. What an opportunity. What opportunities have we missed because we've judged instead of loved? Not anymore. Amen? Amen. Verse 13, we know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. That's something. God just freely gives. That's God. Here. 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 I'm lavishing this on you. Here. And we go, no. Here. More. More. And we go, no. More. He lavishes everything upon us. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. People last week, right along here, and this isn't the only place people come to Jesus. They do it at coffee tables, coffee shops, in their living rooms. They could be walking home. And they come to repentance in Christ. But the Spirit of the living God comes to live and dwell in that vessel that was once a sinner. That's the gospel. Because he dwells in you and I. And so we know and we rely on the love God has for us. Anybody relying on that love today? I'll put my hand up. Oh, you bet. Now watch this. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Verse 20, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. Wow. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he who has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. I want to read to you again quickly just what Rick Renner and how he describes this agape love. The word agape is so filled with emotion and meaning that it is one of the most difficult words to translate in the New Testament. We thank you, Rod, for bringing such amazing light last week to that word. Amen. Trying to explain this word has baffled translators for centuries. Nevertheless, this is him speaking. I will now add my attempt to clarify the meaning of this powerful word. Agape occurs when an individual sees, recognizes, understands, or appreciates the value of an object or a person, causing the viewer, meaning causing God, to behold this object or person. He's beholding us, watch this, in great esteem, awe, admiration, wonder, and sincere appreciation. That's how God sees his church. That's how he sees you. He sees you as beautiful and perfection in Christ. And he sees the world as that. Oh, no. Yes, he does. For God so loved the world. He doesn't love what's going on, but he loves his creation. It's love that changes people's hearts. Such great respect is awakened in the heart of the observer, that's God, for the person he is beholding that he is compelled to love it. In fact, his love for that person or object is so strong that it is irresistible. God's love through Jesus is irresistible. It's irresistible. Turn to Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. Then we're going to come back to 1 John, and I'm going to close with this because I think this will be very powerful for a lot of people. Ephesians 3, verse 14, page 1158. If you don't have a Bible, there's one there. Page 1158 is going to help you. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Watch this, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, in agape, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. The word grasp in other translations is comprehend. It means to have a mental understanding of the love of God. How can we, even as his children, have that? It's by his Spirit. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I don't have the page number, unfortunately, so flow back. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and look at verse 9 and 10. However, as it is written, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But, verse 10, but, all of a sudden the writer's going, just a minute. God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. God, who is love, freely gave us his Spirit. His Spirit is our teacher. That's what 1 John says. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. What about pastors? Well, when John wrote 1 John, there were pastors, there were teachers who were leading the church in a wrong direction. And John said, the Holy One is the counselor, the one, the anointed one that lives in you will teach you all things. And if you have been hearing a message other than the message of love and the message of truth and the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that isn't true. And in 1 John, the other thing they were doing was abusing love, abusing grace. They thought, no moral consequence for how I live. I'm a believer in Jesus, but I'll do whatever I want. That is not love. That is not love. That is not love that's directed back to the God. When we abuse his love and abuse his grace and we live any way we want, Scripture doesn't teach that. But love keeps us in such a place and our conscience that's made alive in Jesus Christ that we as believers no longer want to live the way we used to live. Amen? There's been a change. There's been such a change. And let's go back to 1 John, and I'm going to close with this. We understand God's love somewhat by his Spirit. Oh, one day it's all going to be open to us. Juanita, would you come to the piano? Just play quietly. I want you to stand. This is just too important. This is so amazing. Chapter 4, verse 17, we're going to reread this. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. Wow. That means we are like Jesus. That's what it says. And because of that, we have confidence before the judgment seat of Christ, which, by the way, is the Bema seat. The Bema seat is the reward seat. Perfect love casts out all fear. And yet, for so many years, I've met believers who were terrorized by the fact that one day they're going to stand before Jesus Christ. That isn't truth. It is going to be a great and a glorious day standing before Jesus. Now, your works, they'll be judged. They'll be tried. Scripture says, as with fire. And some of our works will be like wood, hay, and stubble, and they'll just go like that. But some of our works will be, oh, I pray that mine are precious jewels, gold and silver, that Jesus says, well done, my good and faithful servant. But to think that we are the righteousness of God in Christ through love, and then we're going to have fear standing before God at the judgment seat, which is the Bema seat, the reward seat, I'm going to say this really strongly. That teaching's been a lie. If you're in Christ, we're going to run to Jesus at that reward seat. Okay? Now, here's the thing. We've all got work to do. And we need to find out what the will of God is for our life and do that work so that our works will come before Jesus and go, hey, you did well. But I don't have fear of standing before Jesus because perfect love has cast that fear out of me. Amen. But if you need to get things right in your life, get it right. You'd best get it right. That's the call to us as believers. But I'm going to be very honest with you. I heard teaching growing up as a little boy that, like this, you better beware on the day of judgment. Why? I'm in Christ. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Why would I fear meeting my Savior when He sees me as perfection? Why would I fear meeting Him? That fear has done a lot of damage to a lot of people who are believers. I'm preaching real strong right now because I dislike it, because it's not what is taught. Here's what's taught. I got open arms. Come on. I am the great shepherd. And when I gather you in, but think about the fact that our works are going to be right before Him. Did we love people? Do we love our city? Did we represent as ambassadors Him well? Be imitators of God and love one another? So that brings a holy, righteous fear with me. We're in a new season as a church. We are. We're in a new season. We really are. It's an awakening. And it's how we're going to respond to that awakening of God's love for us and others. I just want to respond to it. I think you do too. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we worship you today. We worship you today, Lord. And Father, if there are any here who haven't come to you and seen you as God who sent His Son, which is the only way to Him and the only way to heaven, I pray by your Spirit right now you're moving in their lives. But I pray by your Spirit you're moving in all of our lives. Now we do this every Sunday. And I'm going to ask those who served, if you could come right now and just line up across the front, serve communion, because people are going to come for prayer today. George, I'm wondering, would you hand out the oil? So after I close, if you need healing in your body, you come. If you need somebody to stand with you and agree in prayer, you come for whatever. Maybe you're going to come today and say, you know what? I just want to confess. The Bible says, confess your sins one to another. I've not loved. And pray for me that God will give me a great heart transformation. All right, every head bowed. Every head bowed. Is there anyone here today, you'd first thing we'd say is, I need Jesus, this Jesus, as my Savior. Would you lift your hand? And we're going to pray with you. Would you lift your hand today and just keep it? And we're going to pray with you to receive Christ as Savior. He will come in and transform your life. Thank you, young lady. Thank you. Is there anyone else today? Thank you. Just keep your hand up because we want to pray with you. You want to embarrass me? Not at all. We want to lead you to life. I see your hand. Thank you. Why don't you come? Hey, we got a new family member. George and Isabel, you just right here. Yeah, awesome. Okay. Now, is there anyone else? I just want to wait a moment. Anyone else today? Lift your hand. All right. Thank you. Let's bow. Father God, we love you. Let's say it together. We love you. And you love us. Say it. You love us. Father God, you first loved us, and the love of God, again, is just so strong in our midst today. Thank you for every person. Thank you for this young lady that came. Bless her, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Father, I'm not going to pray, go with us, because you're in us, so why would I pray, go with us? You're in us, dwelling in us, but we'll sure take your blessing. So let's lift our hands for the blessing. God, we cry out to you. Bless us with church growth, the fruits of the Spirit, people coming to Christ. We have not because we ask not. So we stand here today and we ask in the atmosphere of love that you would expand our borders, change our mindset, change our hearts. And Father, I pray that the scriptures today just spoke to people about your love. You love each one of us. And we thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, if you need prayer, I would like you to come right now. Come right away. And parents, when getting your children, if you could just have them not on this platform, and just because there's ministry happening, but if you need prayer today, you come. These people will pray with you. And would you go in the love of God and love one another and encourage each other and have an amazing week in Christ. Blessings on all of you.